Off the Cuff, episode 35. The first and probably the only Off the Cuff Generation Awards, featuring the best and brightest of the home console generation from the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, in very few instances, the Wii. I'm your host, Art. My ego allows me to take over this episode, Danner. I'm joined by our usual cast of sociopaths, Mike, Booth Ninja Powers.
Hello.
Joe Reed.
Hello.
And Sean Z.
Hi, guys.
So, first, before we go into the categories, if you've been following the past couple of months, we've been doing voting via... you've been submitting them to the Geekcast Radio's email address, and we've been tabulating the results to bring you the Generation Awards. This is kind of how the flow of the it'll go. You've seen the list of categories posted on our episode postings every single week. If you want to follow along with the categories, you can go ahead and look at a previous episode and look at the list of categories we're going to go through, because we're going to go through them in the order that they were posted. In many, many cases, if there are ties, which there are several, actually discuss the ties and come up with a winner through discussion. In some cases, there will be clear winners, and we will, in those cases of the clear winners, we will also bring up the honorable mention in those categories. And yeah, does anybody have any questions before we get going?
No. Right. But
so for the Generation Awards, category number one, Best Wii Game.
Oh boy.
The winner is a three-way tie. Super Mario Galaxy, Wii Sports, and Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
A three-way tie?
For yeah. All three people who voted.
There was plenty of people that voted. I just think the issue was nobody could agree on a game that they liked. Because there was a lot of single votes everywhere.
Yeah.
So...
So that means by the rules, we get to pick a winner, right?
Yep.
Discuss and pick a winner?
Yep. So you guys can put your two cents in, and then I'll crap all over it.
Between
Super Mario Galaxy, Wii Sports, and Super Smash Brothers Brawl, what are your feelings? What are you leaning towards, despite what you may have voted for?
It's sweet irony. It would be sweet irony for the Wii if we decided to dub Wii Sports as the best game on the Wii. I would almost wager that that is one of the games that I spent the most time with.
But was it the best?
But it was in the box, and it was one of the best uses of the motion controller, the feature that the Wii was built around. But at the same time, you're right. It's a crappy, not at all impressive type of game. That's the best thing you had.
It's a tech demo.
But that's the problem. The tech demo is better than anything that actually came out of it.
I had fun with Metroid.
I have fun with Metroid as well, but we're not talking about Metroid.
Give me a controller. Give me a standard controller for Metroid any day of the week.
Go for it.
No, I first of all, I never played the other two games that are up for the win here. Because Mario just didn't interest me after Mario 64, and still doesn't. I'm not entirely sure why. But there was just so much, I don't know, it was a packing game, and it showed a lot more about what the system could do than what it actually did. I remember when... What was it they put when the Wii Motion Plus came out and there was Wii Sports Resort?
Yeah.
And that, again, that is just another... It almost would make more sense to... I understand why Wii Sports got on here, because that's what most people have. But Wii Sports Resort, I kind of regret not putting that on my list, because that was a game you actually had to buy. Eventually, it became the pack-in item. But when it came out, you had to go and buy it. And I remember actually going and buying it and it came with the Wii Motion Plus, and they had the sword fight, the sword fighting.
Oh, that sword fighting was awesome.
And I remember wanting just a give, like, I wanted a Star Wars game that was like my Mii character in a Jedi robe and me actually using a lightsaber.
They never gave us that game.
And it's kind of, it's like, why? I mean, and granted, that's not Nintendo's fault, right? That's like Lucasfilm's, that's like Lucas Games, that's their fault. But it's like, there's so, there was just so much, those games, those two games showed so much missed potential on that platform and what that controller could actually do. Like, my, I love the bowling in Wii Sports.
Yep.
I remember playing that for hours with Jason. He and I both got it to where we got perfect 300s.
I never managed to do that.
We found out how to like rig the game to get a strike every time.
Because that makes games fun.
It did, especially when you're, it involves beer. And then the baseball. I like the baseball. Just like the home run derby thing. I don't know. I just felt like that, like, for better or worse, I think I felt like that showed the potential and also the failures of the system all at the same time. It's like, here's what it can do, and then nobody went to do it.
Or which run. Is exactly why I do think that that could potentially be Wii's best thing. As awesome as other things were, there wasn't anything that carried that much with it.
Well,
that, as much of a...
I just feel like there was nothing that got the message of the Wii across like that game did. Everything else could have been done with a controller. Or just like a standard, you know, controller. I don't know, it never jived with me. That was just like the perfect collection of, they made the perfect collection of mini games and showed what the potential of the system was, and developers never ran with it. Nintendo never ran with it outside of their little tech demos. And I don't know, it was actually kind of sad.
Yep.
So I'm assuming then both of you are voting for Wii Sports.
It would be an ironic vote, but I mean, I did play Mario Galaxy.
Okay, let me get this. Don't vote on irony. Vote for what you actually feel is the best.
I know a lot of people would probably, it would come down to like Super Mario Galaxy or Wii Sports. I don't see a problem with either one of those getting it.
I would say, and I don't have a problem with either one of those getting it as long as it's not Super Smash Brothers Brawl, because all you have to do is throw a Wii Remote down a set of stairs and you can beat somebody.
Thank you, Yahtzee. Yep.
I've never liked the Smash Brothers games.
Have issues with the Smash Brothers games, but that game required zero skill. This is one of the few fighting games I've ever come across that you could play it for hours on end, and then somebody who's never played the game or even seen a Wii before can jump in and beat you, and it requires absolutely no skill whatsoever.
I think that could be said about any fighting game.
I think it can be said about any fighting game, but I think that is just so
accessible.
Yeah, accessible, which I guess is a plus for it, but saying that you're really good at playing Super Smash Brothers Brawl is like saying that you have the ability to tie your own shoes.
Ouch.
Where does Shaunzy rein in on all this?
Let me ask him. I really think that
if you say Saints Row 4, I'm kicking you from this podcast.
I'm sorry, but there is no Saints Row 4 on the Wii. Duh. We all know this. I really liked Red Steel. That was my favorite game on the Wii. I mean, it really defined me as a person.
Sean, I really wanted that one to be a good game, too.
You wanted that to be the sword fighting from Wii Sports
I wanted
Resort.
That to be the sword fighting game I didn't get.
So, as per usual, Sean's opinion counts for nothing.
I'm firmly in the Wii Sports Resort category, or the Wii Sports vote, because I haven't played the other ones.
And I'm firmly in the Mario Galaxy.
So, Joe,
Mario Galaxy is a brilliant game. The mechanic of walking around on that small sphere led to all sorts of weird jumping, fun, and havoc and craziness. And then one of my favorite parts about that game, and even Mario Sunshine and the Mario games that I'm playing now. Every once in a while, you kind of step out of the world that the game creates, and they put you into these exquisitely designed platforming levels that are more side-scrolling, more traditional, more colorful, like the first Mario was. And they're brilliant. They're challenging. It hammers those skills that you've lost because you're not 10 years old coming home and playing video games till bedtime. It's just, it looked brilliant and it played brilliant. The story I could give two craps about, but that was a brilliant,
brilliant
game. Does
the story in a Mario game really matter? I was actually, I was contemplating that the other night. Like some games, it's not about the story. It's actually about the mechanics, and I think that's what Mario's always been. I don't think I've ever sat down and played a Mario game because of the story. I'm not saying you have or anything like that. I just think that's like an interesting discussion. It's like kind of sat down just to jump on turtles.
Joe, where does your vote land?
I think for the sake of just actually showing the Wii as a quality system, I will go with Super Mario Galaxy.
Yes! So, Super Mario Galaxy, winner.
Okay.
Best PS3 game. I'm going to go with the tie for second place, which we don't really got a vote on. Infamous and Last of Us tied for second.
Oh, damn.
And by a ridiculous landslide vote, Uncharted 2, hands down, best game on the PS3 this generation.
That kind of surprises me.
No.
I'm not surprised. It's a really, really good game.
Yeah, it's...
it's probably one of the most solid games on the entire...
Uh-oh. Did I lose you guys? Hello?
Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got booted too. I heard you say it's probably one of the most solid game.
I just heard everything like get really quiet in the background.
Can you hear me?
I can hear everybody
now. Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Yeah, I just all I the last thing I heard was you said that it's probably one of the most solid game, and then it went nothing.
See, when you cut out your own voice like that, it makes me think that it's cutting out.
Yeah, no.
You're so good at that. So good.
Yeah.
Mike, I hate your new router.
I'm switching it back after this. I didn't have problems when I was with Steve, but it was just him and I. I wonder if it's because there's three connections.
Yeah. So, anyway,
yeah, okay. Undisputed, Uncharted 2. I totally get that one.
Yeah. And, I mean, there was a lot of votes cast in the PlayStation 3 category for best games, and I was a little surprised that, I guess I'm a little surprised that Infamous was so close to the top also, which don't get me wrong, I liked Infamous, I just didn't realize it was going to get that close.
I thought Infamous 2 would be there.
Yeah, and it wasn't. There was, like, no votes for Infamous 2.
So, I'm wondering, actually, I'm actually kind of thrilled that Uncharted 2 got it for, and one of the reasons why is because because Last of Us just came out.
Yeah.
And while it's a great game, I'm glad it wasn't like the best one that people have played most recently, and that's why it wins.
Yeah.
Like that, I think the fact that Uncharted 2 came out 5-6 years ago now, 2009. Wow, it's been a long time. Wow.
Yeah.
You're old.
Well, I gotta ask one thing. I gotta ask a question to Sean. Because, seriously, he was the only dude, you were the only guy to vote for, and I'm sorry, the fact that you even voted for this as a contender for best game, DC Universe Online, are you kidding me?
It's probably, I think it's the only game he played on the PS3.
Well, guys, I only played like three games on the PS3, so my basis was really, you know, shallow and uninformed, like most of my opinions on the line. Okay, well, that was all the explanation I really needed. Okay, man, you don't got to go into it. We already know you're a sad sack and incredibly depressing to be around, so just let's not delve into it too much.
Well, thanks for at least hearing me out, Art.
No problem, man. Just, it's fine. All right. So, anything else anybody wants to add to that, or should we move on to the best 360 game?
We can move on. I'm good.
Okay. Best Xbox 360 game. Runner-up, we had a tie. Mass Effect and Halo 4. Yeah, I know. I was a little...
4 was the best of all of them?
Well, there's only...
I mean, it could still be number one. One of the others could be number one, but really?
I mean, there's been... technically, there's only been two numbered Halo games, but there's been four or five? Five Halo games on the 360.
Well, I still need to play the one with all the Serenity crew.
ODST, yeah.
Yeah.
ODST, Reach, and Halo 4 and Halo 3.
And then Halo Wars.
Oh, and Halo... God, that game was not great. I was excited to see Mass Effect on there.
See, Mass Effect's one of the ones that I have a problem with being on there. Because Mass Effect is not a 360 game. It's a multi-platform game. I understand that it identifies with the 360.
Wait. Mass Effect 1 was the winner. Not 2, not 3. Mass Effect 1.
That's number one, the best 360 game?
It was not number one, but it was tied with Halo 4. So theoretically, for the majority of the generation, it was exclusive.
I'm going to go Halo 4 because it's an actual 360 game.
I said it's a runner-up. We don't have a winner, boys and girls, because the winner is a definitive one.
Oh, no, but that's what I'm just saying. I have an issue with Mass Effect being considered a 360-only game. But
and I have an issue with it wasn't open to exclusives. It was open to games in general.
I know.
A non-exclusive can be a winner, as in the case of the winner for 360.
Oh, Jesus.
Orange Box.
Well,
Orange
I mean...
Orange Box was the winner for the 360 category.
Okay, I'm totally fine with that, and here's why. Because Orange Box was unplayable on PS3.
Yes. And it covers so much, and I think a lot of it has to... I think a big pull for the votes was Team Fortress 2 and Portal. Mostly Portal, I think, was the bigger pull on that one.
Interesting that most people just didn't say Portal, considering that was also released by itself.
Yeah, but I think many people also wrote in, like, Orange Box parentheses Portal or... Well, mostly that was, yeah. I think most people are pointing towards Portal, but I think I know a few of the votes were legitimately just for Orange Box, and I think it's because it was just a great packaged
material. I don't think there was a better value this generation than that.
No, I think that was the best $60 I spent the entire generation, because I played every single game in that bundle. I didn't buy it let me rephrase it. I bought it to play Portal, but I'd also never played any of the Half-Life games before.
I bought it. I mean, I would say it's the best value for $60. I don't think it's the best $60. I don't know if I can say it. Does that make any sense? Like, it was the most bang for the $60, but I don't think it was the best $60 I spent.
I think it was the best $60 I spent, because most of the things I would consider the best $60 I spent, I didn't actually spend $60 because of all the DLCs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, see, there you go, snap boy.
But I bought it for Portal and for Team Fortress 2. I never played Half-Life because, in my opinion, it was unplayable. Walking around a corner and coming in and running into a loading screen was unacceptable to me.
I will also say that the votes for best 360 game were the most scattered they were out of any category, with the exception of worst game. But everybody had opinion of what the best game was, but nobody seemed to be able to agree on much.
But is that because there's a lot of multi-platform choices, or
if we went with just exclusives for best game,
how many different ones were there?
Tabulating.
Six.
Six. Wow.
Which is actually more than I thought there would be.
Huh.
Nope, seven.
Okay. Still finding them in the couch cushions.
Gears of War. Halo Reach. Crackdown. Halo 4. Forza 4. Gears 3. Fable 2.
Okay, well, Fable 2 had to have been Chauncey.
Yeah, because that game's fucking dumb.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I can see... I could actually see how any one of those could have been number one, but I'm glad Orange Box came out on top.
I'm glad Orange Box came out on top.
Yeah, I bought Orange Box for Portal, played Team Fortress for about 15 minutes, and one of the Half-Life things on there for 15 minutes, and that was it. But I still... I'm okay with that being the best 360.
I got so sucked in to... I'd never played Half-Life games before, and I was like 10 minutes in, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this. This just feels too much like a PC game. And then I sat there and just tore through all of them that were on the disc, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm a Half-Life fan. But... So, the next category. Best franchise of the generation.
Oh boy.
And we have a tie for second place.
Okay.
Which is Mass Effect series and the Assassin's Creed series.
Oh. I'm quite happy with that tie. That's all right with me.
A lot of votes cast. This was a very, very focused vote by most everybody. Mass Effect and Assassin's Creed barely got beat. By one vote, it got beat by another franchise.
Uncharted.
Uncharted won best franchise of this generation.
Huh.
And I can't argue with that. I mean, don't get me wrong. These three franchises are by far, with the exception of maybe one other franchise, definitely my favorite stuff of the generation. I loved Mass Effect, and I really, really, really liked Assassin's Creed until 3. But I loved Uncharted. I mean, I was impressed by the first game and just continually became more and more impressed with the series as it went on.
Yeah, there was a moment in the Uncharted series that there's been one in each of the Uncharted games that I don't think I've ever experienced in any game in the last generation where there has been one scene or set piece that just one up the previous game and made when I first got Uncharted, it was one of the first games I got for my PlayStation 3. And the scene that sticks out in my mind in the first Uncharted game is when you're on the submarine that's like on top of the waterfall. And the camera is behind you and you're looking out onto the jungle and the sun is like setting and just everything is, it just looks amazing. Like that's the one for me, for some reason, that's like the signature moment in Uncharted. It was like, this is the PS3. The PS3 is here. This is what it can do. And each game, each Uncharted 2 and 3 all had those moments in them. And I was surprised that that franchise was able to one up itself.
And I will say with like, and I agree with everything you said. But the one thing I still can't get over is Uncharted 2 is still my favorite in the series, but Uncharted 3, the entire cruise ship scenario is still just jaw-dropping to me. I don't know why it's in the game. I have no idea what it has to do with the storyline at all, because it doesn't fit anything else that seems to be going on, but I'm so glad it's there. And I love that entire section of the game, but honestly, I have no idea where it fits in the story at all, because it just doesn't really, it feels very separated from everything else that's going on. That entire boat graveyard section.
Well, remember, there might even be chunks missing out of that game, like story-wise, because one of the voice actors got hurt.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why it doesn't feel as tight as the other ones, is because they didn't recast the guy. They just the character just kind of disappeared from the game. So I'm sure that didn't play too well. What I'm most surprised about is that it is Uncharted. The one thing I'm most surprised about with Uncharted being voted the best franchise of the generation is that it's only a PlayStation 3 game. Whereas Mass Effect and Assassin's Creed would seem to have the widest sampling of gamers, which makes me wonder if the majority of the people that voted were PS3 guys.
Well, and every single franchise that was voted on, with the exception of two of them were exclusives. And the winner, Uncharted, and the one who barely got votes, which would be Halo. but everything else was a multi-platform series.
I'll also say that Assassin's Creed had 5 games this generation.
Yeah.
Actually, now 6. Uncharted's only had 3, which means they, with the exception of Uncharted 3, they took their time crafting those games.
So if we went by pure volume, that would mean that Mass Effect and Uncharted are just better than Assassin's by volume per capita.
That's so disappointing because those are two games that I just can't get the hype bite, the hype bug.
Mass Effect doesn't get me either, Joe. Don't worry about it.
Bite me.
Moving on. So slow.
I got lost.
Developer.
Infinity Ward.
Ubisoft.
Tie. For number one or number two?
For number one.
Ooh.
I don't do runners up when there is a tie for one.
Okay.
Because we're going to decide who the runner up is by this. Naughty Dog and Valve.
Oh, snap. Portal. I want to look at the.
Yeah, it's innovation, isn't it?
Give the credit to the innovation.
Here's the problem. They supported. I look at developer and I have to think of what they did Portal, and Portal was great. And they came out with the director for Left 4 Dead, and that entire idea, that was awesome. But they're, as a developer, I feel like their support on console was
wavering.
Wavering and haphazard, right, at best.
Was that Valve's fault, or was that the Microsoft's fault for saying, no, you can't give these away for free, no, we're gonna punk this, no, you can't do that? I think that was their Valve.
I'm sorry, after seeing Borderlands, I will fault Valve until the end of the day, because Danner and I both shelled out more than $100 for both content on both games, and Valve easily could have charged us for the stuff that was in Half-Life or Left 4 Dead 2. They just chose to package another $60 game instead of selling DLC.
Microsoft wouldn't let them.
No, they wanted to give it away for free. Microsoft said no, but they could have at least charged $10 for it.
They could have charged $3 for it.
Yeah, they could have charged something for it, and people still would have bought it. It was their choice to package $60 on it because they couldn't give it away for free. They decided to turn around and do it for $60.
Good point.
And not to mention their PS3 support was lacking, and Left 4 Dead 2 wasn't even on the PS3. But then again, they turned around, and Steam and PS3 accounts are now linked together as far as Portal 2 goes, and you're able to play Portal 2 with people cooperatively with PC players. So that was kind of cool. They came back around, but it was it was never consistent. At least with the Uncharted series, Naughty Dog's done a lot of stuff with at least when the multiplayer stuff started in Uncharted 2, they do stuff all the time. They're constantly working on the game and improving multiplayer, but that's because that's what you do when you have a multiplayer thing. But at least their game worked on the PS3. It wasn't just kind of haphazard. That's why I have such a hard time with it, because yes, Portal and Portal 2 are amazing games, and the Left 4 Dead, at least I love Left 4 Dead 1. And I don't know. That's why I have such a hard time with it.
I forgot that they had a part in the Left 4 Dead series. With the innovative stuff, my vote's with Valve, with hands down.
Where's your vote for Mike?
This is
Naughty Dog makes a cinematic experience, but anybody can do that.
No.
No, they can't.
No.
Okay, everybody's capable, but not everybody does.
I don't think
everybody is capable of the type of innovations that were brought to us by Portal and the game mechanics of Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead was just, it was just a first-person shooter with fancy AI. And it wasn't even that fancy once you played it long enough. You realized what was going to happen and when it was going to happen.
It was exquisitely composed four-player co-op. I don't think even Borderlands doesn't compare to how awesome that co-op was.
No, it. I agree. I could agree with that.
Come on, Mike, make a decision.
I'll give it to Valve on a technicality that they brought us Portal and Portal 2, which I think the idea, I think the mechanics in Portal are way better than, are probably the best mechanics we've seen the entire generation.
I'm also going to give it to Valve. So it wouldn't even matter if you faltered towards Naughty Dog. You were going to lose anyways.
I had a feeling I was going to lose.
All right. Best innovation of the generation. Runner up. Improvements to online gaming. And online support.
Okay.
Winner. Motion controls, which in my opinion,
did I vote motion controls, or did I say Wiimote? Do you have the results there?
I don't have them, but if it was complimentary towards motion controls, like if it was Kinect or Wiimote, I kind of lumped them together.
Okay. Like I thought the Wiimote was probably the most innovative thing this generation.
There was a very, very close Netflix on there also. A lot of people voted for Netflix.
Well, Netflix did kind of come into its own with these things. So
I sold so many 360s working at GameStop mentioning the Netflix hookup.
That's crazy considering you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, that most of the parents were going to be paying for the online anyway because their kids wanted the game. And saying that once you buy this thing, it's only this $8 more a month where you get to watch movies and it becomes something that you actually want to do, not just your kid. They were like, oh, yeah, all right, that's okay. That can come into my living room. And when the few of them already had Netflix, it made the deal even sweeter.
I don't know. I still can't get behind the fact that I'm going to pay to use something that I'm already paying for. Which is one of the reasons why I hate Live.
That's why I'm not going back until they make me pay for PS3 online.
They won't.
Well,
aren't you the one that told me that they thought they were gonna?
They could have. But they put multiplayer behind the paywall for the PlayStation 4, but everything else remains the same.
Yep.
But here's the funny thing about that. It's multiplayer is what went behind the paywall. None of the video sharing, none of the like party chat is not behind a paywall. It's just online gaming, like went behind the paywall. Everything else remains the same.
Which, to be quite honest, with the benefits you already get from PlayStation Plus, doesn't really seem like that big of a deal.
No, it pays for itself.
Yes, it does.
Very quickly.
Until it doesn't anymore.
Until it doesn't, and they start screwing you. Or they become Xbox Live that's like, we'll give you free games. They're just going to be 9 years old. Ha ha ha. But they're free. Enjoy.
All right, so is
the stuff you get out of the $5 bin over at GameStop.
So this had a definitive winner, so we don't really need to debate this.
No, we just went off on a tangent. Okay. Anyways,
we just have to accept it. Motion controls. Well, greatest, we can discuss motion controls.
Yeah. I'm good. Greatest time suck of this generation. We had a tie for second place between COD franchise and Borderlands.
Whoa.
That's for runner-up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
COD and Borderlands tied for second place.
If it's not Netflix's number one, I'm gonna be pissed.
It's not a game I play. Number one time suck of this generation, Skyrim.
What?
I don't play it, so I don't know. I
put a lot of hours into it, but I put more hours into Fallout.
Yeah, I know. It's Fallout 3 was my time suck of this generation.
Oh, you know what? Can my accumulative time for Borderlands just overrule this entire thing?
Nope.
Damn it.
No, because it's actually not a good game.
I thought we agreed that Borderlands 2 isn't a good game. Okay, before Mike blows his top.
No, I'm good.
We're good. Okay, we're going to move on to the next category.
Wait a minute. Just so everyone knows, I've put probably 1,000 hours into the two games combined. So, if anyone's
1,000 hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's at least 400 for each, and that might be over that. So, I know that makes 800 hours. I'm not dumb at math. I'm just rounding up because I'm not entirely
rounding
sure
up those extra 200 hours just because, you know, they're just 200.
Okay,
hours.
Fine. You know what? If anyone that voted has put more than 800 hours into Skyrim, fine. Skyrim can be number one.
We'll take your screen captures. You can tweet us your screen cap.
I just want to point out one more time, Skyrim, best time suck of this generation, voted by you, the listeners. Anyways, moving on. Did Mike just throw something?
No, that was Joe. That was Joe fiddling with stuff. Not that much of a child.
This is the one who actually threw a PS3 controller.
Damn, I was going to say that.
It was a 360 controller.
All right. Best PSN/arcade/WiiWare game of this generation. And we have a three-way tie for second place.
World of Goo.
Dust and Elysian Tale.
Okay.
Castle Crashers. And DuckTales Remastered.
Kind of surprised to see DuckTales in there.
Yep. I was a little surprised too, but it got some voties. But landslide winner, like, nobody even came close to it.
Journey.
Hands down, Journey.
Yes.
Journey. Yay!
Best PSN/live/WiiWare game of this generation.
And if you don't know why, go play it.
Yeah, go play it. I don't hold a candle to the wind as much as you guys do for that game because it was not a game I voted for.
That's okay. It's either that or Limbo for me.
It's okay. You probably don't appreciate Flower either.
I appreciated Flower just fine, but I can't play it anymore because I don't have the rights to it because somebody's got to get their wife to have the rights, blah, blah, blah.
Actually, technically, you can sign back up for it because she got her own PlayStation Plus account.
Whatever. I hate your face. Journey 1, I don't, there's nothing really to discuss about that one.
One of the most memorable things about Journey for me was, do you remember the level where you're surfing?
Yep.
And it turns into like a 2.5D game. You see everything from the side. For some reason, I don't know why, but that just makes me think of the best Sonic game of the generation. I don't even like Sonic. The last Sonic game I played was like Sonic 2 on the Game Gear. I just, for some reason, when I see that scene, I'm like, man, this must be what people want out of a Sonic game. And they'll never get it.
Yeah. Well.
Man. That game has never made me want to hug a stranger more.
Leading from Journey into the next one is kind of a nice leeway, which is the best surprise game of this generation.
Portal.
Because then we can go right back and talk about what we just talked about for runner-up, because Journey was second place.
Oh, how dare you people.
But by a whopping landslide, best surprise of this game generation, The Walking Dead.
I'm not surprised
about in the slightest, because I loved that game, and it was not an experience I was expecting to have.
Yeah, no, I can get behind that. But actually, what interests me, and just tangent here real quick, The Wolf Among Us. When we get ready to play that, is that going to be counted for us as Game of the Year? Like, because we're not, it's not going to be out for Game of the Year 2013. So would that be, even though it came, the first chapter hit this year, would we do that in 2014?
I would suspect that it would be 2014 because of the fact that I think the game has to be completed in order to it.
To be nominated?
Correct.
Okay. I've been thinking about that a lot, and I just wanted to bring that up because we're talking about Telltales and The Walking Dead, and season 2 is going to happen here before the end of the year.
Yay!
Oh, I can't wait.
Is there going to be a PS4? Is it going to be a PS4?
Probably.
Not that I would probably want to buy it, because it's not like my save is going to carry over from my PS3 to my PS4.
It may.
I don't deal in Mays. I only deal in Junes.
That's actually one of the that's one of the reasons why I also I bought it again on the Vita.
Oh, because of our never-ending wallet of full money.
So that I can, I just have to bring myself to play it again on the Vita. That way my stuff will carry over and I won't have to, that's why I brought it, because I'm unhooking my PS3 and I don't want to have to worry about what happens to my save. So,
all right. And, with that, we are going to, break for a sponsor break, or, you know, trailer for other podcast on Geekcast Network or an Audible ad or whatever.
Something will be played after this.
Something with words that doesn't involve this thing will be happening now.
Pixels in the Animation has now left the Mushroom Kingdom, Paizans, to enter the realm of Hyrule in episodes 16 through 20 of PETA. Join TV's Mr. Neil and TFG1 Mike as they are going through the classic. And I'm actually have my fingers in the air and making air quotes when we say classic, Legend of Zelda, the animated series. This time around, a special guest joins the guys for the Zelda reviews. It's the famed Ender from Radio Free Cybertron. And the Pullback. So tune in and help us find the pixels in the animation, which you can find on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. Excuse us, listeners.
And we're back with the best FPS of this generation. We actually had a tie for second place between Modern Warfare 2 and Portal 2.
What?
Huh?
Can you consider Portal 2 an FPS?
I actually would.
I don't know if I would.
It's in first person, but it's more of a first person puzzle game than it is a shooter.
Shooting portals. I don't know I'm fighting that point, but I don't actually agree with it.
But we're grasping at straws. BioShock.
Is number one.
Number one. Best FPS of this generation, which I can't argue with at all. I love that game. I love the atmosphere of the game. I love the game design. I love, oh god. Just...
But is it a good shooter?
Yeah.
No. I've never heard BioShock described as a good shooter. like the shooting mechanics in it. I've never heard I've heard a lot of things about BioShock and how awesome it is, but never, ever have I heard it described as a good shooter. Not compared to like Call of Duty or Halo or anything that is an actual like dedicated shooter.
So what would you say against the people that voted for it then?
Oh my! I understand that BioShock is a great game. I'm not saying that it's not a great game. In fact, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't up there like in the franchise stuff or as like the 360 game, considering that's what that franchise really identifies with is the 360.
There was votes for it, but it just wasn't as there in the mass that it was for everything else.
But it's just I don't even know. There's just so many. There are better shooters on the 360 or the PS3.
And I think everybody needs to go back and play BioShock 1 again, because as I'm playing it, I remember being blown away with it. It's not holding up great. You know, I mean, I just played it less than 2 weeks ago. It's not holding up. It really isn't. The play control, it's sluggish. You kind of it's not a shooter. It just doesn't feel like it. The accuracy's not there. It's spray and pray. That reticle, the little crosshairs, is just a suggestion as to where those bullets are going. Wow. I don't know.
There's just so much hate between you two.
No, I'm not. BioShock. I'm not hating on BioShock. I'm hating on the fact that
it's not a good game.
You're hating on the listeners. Whoa. I get it. It's fine. No. You guys don't like the listeners.
Wait, no. Joe just said BioShock wasn't a good game. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's not a competent first-person shooter.
I thought we've already determined the fact that Joe tends to not like games.
No. I like good games. I don't like bad ones.
For some reason, I went to write Best Buy next to Best First-Person Shooter. Okay. So BioShock is the best first person shooter, and you all are smoking crack.
Man, so technically, so angry. Let's move past on to something we can all agree on.
You say BioShock is the best first person shooter, listeners. I will one up you and give you Mirror's Edge. If BioShock is considered a first person shooter, then so is Mirror's Edge.
Okay, now we're grasping at straws. So, anyways, moving on to best action game. Runner up, Assassin's Creed 2.
Wow. Oh, that probably means it's Uncharted again.
Correct. Uncharted 2, winner. By
Avo. Which again is crazy because it's a console exclusive and we must have a lot of PS3 listeners.
Or people that know people and, you know how to seek out and play good games on their own. Or maybe they just all own Sony systems. It's right. Fine. It's cool.
Uncharted 2 for the win. Just, you know, rewind the podcast, listen to what we had to say about the best PS3 game.
See. Here is a category that I have absolutely no stake in whatsoever and could really give two craps about. Hey, best racer game. Three-way tie for first.
Because only three people voted, right?
No, there was lots of votes, but this is gonna be hard for both of you because I already know which ones you guys are gonna pick and argue over, and number one. which first off, I want to say congratulations to the Wii for finally making it on something.
Mario Kart
Wii.
Well, that's automatically out. Moving
Burnout
on.
Burnout Paradise and Forza 4.
Considering I'm probably the only one that spent any amount of time with Burnout Paradise and Joe's the only one that spent any amount of time with Forza, this is not going to end well.
Nope.
Danner, you might as well just decide right now.
I played Forza 4 once.
And hey, you spent a lap time on my track.
And I own Burnout Paradise. And the one round I played at Joe's house on Forza 4 was more fun than all the time I spent with Burnout Paradise.
Glad our friendship means nothing.
I'm going to vote for Burnout Revenge.
Fuck that.
I'll bend over and take it.
No, I'm gonna vote for I'll vote for Burnout Paradise because I did have quite a bit of fun with that game. So there we go. There's your incredibly lackluster winner for Bracer. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. best strategy game, which a lot of the viewers seem to be very confused with the definition of what a strategy game is.
Somehow, if this category didn't come down to Halo Wars and XCOM Enemy Unknown, I don't know what people were playing.
Runner up, Halo Wars. Winner, XCOM.
There we go.
There we go. So, because there wasn't very many strategy games. Now, the only one I was surprised that wasn't on there for as many good things as I heard about it, Civilization Revolution.
You know?
Which is a game I expected to actually do really well in that category, and it did not.
Would Pixel Junk Monsters have qualified for this?
I got a vote.
Oh, by you?
Probably. So did Fire Emblem, which I, for some reason, I
always thought that was turn-based strategy.
I thought it was an RPG, but
well, it would be turn-based strategy.
But perfect segment into best role-playing game.
Role player.
Second place.
Sean's the only one who voted Fable.
Probably. Yeah, he was. But come on, guys, I love Fable. Fable's the best.
It's going to be a Mass Effect. What other role-playing game was there this generation?
Best role-player, runner-up, Fallout 3.
Yeah!
So you're happy with second place, Joe?
I'd rather it be first place, but I'll take second place.
Best?
Skyrim.
Mass Effect.
Ah!
Had to end up on this list somewhere.
Oh, wait a second.
What?
No.
It is Fable, isn't it?
Fallout 3 in two categories. It's a tie. Fallout 3 and Mass Effect.
For number one?
I somehow split one vote off of Fallout 3 and put it somewhere else. So I'm a liar. It's a tie. Fallout 3 and Mass Effect.
Having played neither, so, but having been more interested in Fallout 3, I'm going to go with Fallout 3.
Joe, I already know what Joe's
Fallout
gonna...
3.
I have a lot of love for Mass Effect, but if we're talking a single game experience, I put a good 200 hours into Fallout 3. So I'm definitely had to vote for Fallout 3.
We'll say this: having not played a Fallout game, I do own New Vegas, and I did play like an hour or 2 hours of it. I'm probably, because of the promise of next gen systems, I'm looking forward to Fallout 4.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait for Fallout 4.
Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure we'll talk about this next week when we do our PlayStation launch coverage. Sony's announcing more next-gen games next Thursday.
Good.
So, well, we can actually, when we're doing our PlayStation stuff next week, we can vote. We can make predictions as to what those games might be.
Now, since we're talking about Fallout, and since Fallout is now the role player winner of this generation, favorite go-to game is a four-way tie for first place. Fallout 3.
Really?
Call of Duty 4. Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Borderlands. And Borderlands 2.
Out of all of
first things first, I will say I can eliminate Borderlands 2.
Well,
right away.
I
for favorite go-to game?
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that. I'll drop Fallout 3 and Borderlands. I'll drop Fallout 3 and Borderlands 2, and not because I think Fallout 3 is a bad game. I just Fallout seems like one of those games where, for me, a go-to game is a game where I can jump in at any point in time and maybe play with my friends or do something for like 5 to 10 minutes.
I hate playing with friends.
I don't see Fallout the game that you can play for 5 to 10 minutes and move on to something else. And Borderlands 2, the way that it was set up and the way that it was managed by Gearbox. Gearbox, the second time around, they made it not fun to pick up and play for 5 to 10 minutes. I remember spending
more than 5 to 10 minutes just to log in and get your guy.
Well, I remember playing like Borderlands and just making loot runs to the armory and being done for the day. Like, I'm gonna sign on and just, you know, go. I'll get Danner and, you know, Allie, and maybe Joe will join us. I don't know if Joe got that far with us, but and we'll go glitch into the armory and we'll loot it and we'll do that a couple of times and then we'll go and do something else. Or Modern Warfare, like any of the Modern Warfares for me is something that you can just, that is just a go-to game where I'm gonna sit down and hang out with friends for like a match or two.
That we could even, and my thing why I lean a little bit towards Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 more, is because it's one of the few games that I've actually gone back and played the single player over again. It's also one of those, as much as we enjoyed Modern Warfare 2 or Modern Warfare 3, every once in a while it would be like, we just need to do a Call of Duty 4 a night.
Because those maps are so good.
I know!
And the only reason I enjoy Call of Duty 2 is because they put the Call of Duty 1 maps in there through DLC. It's interesting that Modern Warfare 4 or Call of Duty 4 holds up as well as it does, because I know that I needed to play 4 or Call of Duty 4 in order to play Modern Warfare 2 and 3.
Yeah.
The multiplayer. I've never played a single player game in a COD game, but I remember getting Modern Warfare 2 and not like being really excited going and getting it and sitting down and playing it, and not, well, one, you couldn't get into a match to save your life. But not having that much fun with it. I remember, like, I think it was the whole group of us just decided to go play COD 4 for like a week or something like that. And then I was like, okay, now I'm ramped up and ready to go. And we went back and started playing Modern Warfare 2. And I had to do that same thing with Modern Warfare 3. But there is nothing like the ability to, you know, text you and say, hey, you want to play some COD, you know, and even when Chauncey's still at Call of Duty, we could ask him to play. And it was like, we could just get on there and hang out for a couple matches and then, you know, shoot the shit. And it's one of the reasons why I keep thinking if they added a paintball mode to Call of Duty, it would be over.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My vote's going to be with Call of Duty 4.
Joe,
my game isn't even on this list, and I don't think I've played Fallout. I've played Fallout, but I wouldn't go to that. Because, yeah, I mean, you could pick up Fallout and say, I'm only going to play it for 10 minutes, but
then you'll 5 hours invariably
find something awesome to do, and then say, I'm going to collect every coffee cup in the game, and then you're in there for 3 hours.
Yeah, coffee cups.
So that's where my vote is, because I can't stand
Joe's giant room of coffee cups.
I got to take a screenshot of that somehow.
So Joe's votes for Fallout?
Yeah, even though I know it's pissing in the wind.
That's fine, because I'm voting for Call of Duty 4, so fuck you, Joe.
I figured.
Maybe Sean's got something to add, too.
Battlefield.
I was a big fan of State of Decay. That's my thing. I really like Borderlands too. But
stop talking. Stop. Moving on.
Just go, Sean. Just go in the corner.
Back in the box.
Take this box of Kleenex and this KY, and just go over there and keep quiet and try to keep, you know, the gross sounds to a minimum, man.
Oh, stop.
Oh.
Oh god, okay. I don't know if I should censor that for the listeners or not.
It's too real. All right, best online experience of this generation. We have a four-way tie for second place.
Oh wow.
It's Call of Duty 4, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, Journey, and Left 4 Dead.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Just to be clear, with the Call of Duty stuff, people were just writing in with Call of Duty, and we were just putting it down as Call of Duty 4. How was that working? I remember you were irritated about that.
I think it was just in this category. Because I guess we could just say best online experience, Call of Duty in general. It doesn't win, so it doesn't matter. I didn't come near close to who won.
Journey.
Nothing came close to who won. What did you just say?
Journey.
Journey was one
didn't
of the
I
ties.
Just say Journey was a runner-up?
Oh, I don't. I didn't. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Heart. You're just not listening.
Wow.
Borderlands 1 was definitively the winner. Like, hands down, like, really, really, really won. Not you know, by
as far separated as all of these votes are, as out of every, I mean, everything is winning, all these different categories where they're all the same thing. It just kind of makes me think that this generation has just been all over the place. There aren't, I don't know, how does this one best online experience, but it doesn't win first person shooter?
Well, I don't even know if I would have made it the, see, I don't even know if I would have put by, like, Borderlands and best first person shooter. Yes, it's a good first person shooter, but I don't think it's the best one. I still think that's reserved for like Battlefield or Call of Duty or Halo as far as first person shooter goes.
Yeah, any kind of I wouldn't call a first person shooter unless that crosshair actually means something, and it doesn't mean anything in Borderlands.
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Borderlands getting the best online gaming experience like short changes stuff like Left 4 Dead or Journey, like, and I'm not just I don't know
how does it shortchange stuff. It's all these games were recognized, but they just weren't as widely recognized,
and that's weird games. To me, because
it's weird to you that people don't have the exact same opinion of things that you do.
No, I'm just saying, I think that, I mean, do you think Borderlands was the best gaming experience this generation, online gaming experience? Really?
Yeah. With the amount of fun and amount of time that we all sunk into it and how much time we spent together and the just good time we had.
Yeah, okay. Here's a good way to think about it, Mike. Would you trade all of your Borderlands online experience for all of your Journey experience? Would you forget that completely out of your memory? Would you give that up to have your experience with Journey?
Yeah. I mean,
So
I see where our friendship rates.
Working with an anonymous nobody that you never talk to.
But there was
that
something
is how powerful that away. Game is.
No, and I agree with that. That was an actual experience. There are so many. That was an online experience that I think could only be delivered that way. There are so many other games that delivered the four player co-op thing, you know, for better or worse. I mean, I'll even go so far as I would put Left 4 Dead. I would probably go Journey, Left 4 Dead, and then Borderlands, because even Left 4 Dead, not only was there like cooperatively where you can play, you know, you play with your friends and you try to make it to the end of the level, there was also like a versus mode where you could go after four other people that were actually playing with four of your friends playing as infected.
And that's where I spent a lot of my time.
And that completely changed the game.
Well, I can't help the fact that Borderlands ranks up higher for me because there's something about the ability to get Sean trapped in a vehicle with you and then dive out of it as you send it sailing over the cliff that I just found way more rewarding than what I got out of Left 4 Dead.
All right. Well, I mean, it's vote. I mean, obviously debating it can't, we're not debating number one because there's, you know, it's not going to change. So
if it makes you feel better, we can debate the next category.
Worst game of the generation?
Worst game of the generation.
Okay, if this isn't Duke Nukem or Aliens Colonial Marines, both of them brought to us by Gearbox Software, I really want to know what's number one.
3-way tie for first place. So we will get to discuss this. Perfect Dark Zero. Walking Dead Survival Instinct.
Whoa.
And Aliens Colonial Marines. Now, in defense of Perfect Dark Zero, which don't get me wrong, not a great game. In fact, it's pretty terrible. And I've even tried to go back and play it recently, and it's even worse than it was at launch. Because, shit, that story mode makes no sense. It is a launch game, in its defense. It was a launch game. How many launch games actually do hold up? So I would have a hard time putting my vote in the Perfect Dark Zero category. Don't get me wrong, it is a terrible game.
But wasn't that just terrible from the get-go? I don't think anyone ever thought that was good.
No, and I don't even know how I managed to actually get through the entire game. Because played it from start to finish, and it was a struggle, but I got through it. But it also has to do with the fact that it was a launch game, and there wasn't a ton of games at launch. Well, that's a lie. There were actually quite a few games at 360's launch, but it just happened to be one of the games I got.
But that was one of the exclusive 360 games. Yes. Like that was, you know, that's one of the things we're running into this generation where there's there's four versions of one game.
Yeah.
That was one of the few games that was 360 only, so.
And I also come on the other side of things with Walking Dead, which is I knew the first time I saw a preview for that game that that game was going to be fucking terrible. Just a steaming pile of shit. But how many people, me included, saw the preview, saw everything for Aliens Colonial Marines, were legitimately excited for that game? I remember reading articles about it like 2 years before it came out and how like jazzed up I was for that game. Until the reviews started coming out the week before it launched.
I feel like there should almost be two categories. Like there should be another category added here, like worst PR disaster or worst. What's the term I'm looking for? Where you pull one over on somebody. Oh my gosh. Shyster? What is it?
Shyster?
No.
Shyster? Really? That's what you come up with?
No, okay, it's, you know, where you offer somebody one thing and then you give them something else? What is that?
Quick change artist?
No, there's an actual term. I can't remember. Oh my gosh.
You're a shyster.
Hoodwinked.
That's
hoodwinked.
What that word means.
Hoodwink. Best hoodwink?
Yeah, best hoodwink of the generation. I would almost have to say that, I mean, sure, Alien Colonial Marines may be the worst game of the generation, but I also think it was the most misleading game of the generation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it got, if the coverage was as honest as, say, the Walking Dead game was, would it have actually been the worst game of the generation because no one ended up playing it? Or is it only the worst game of the generation because it was so overhyped and it became a thing?
Well, okay, my vote is squarely with Alien Colonial Marines, but I think the other thing that Walking Dead had working against it was the fact that it came out after Telltale's Walking Dead, and I feel that they really set a bar for that type of a game, and even though Walking Dead Survival Instinct was a completely different play style and set in the TV universe, that it had so many things working against it just because of that.
Well, yeah, it also had Left 4 Dead working against it.
Yeah.
So.
And pretty much every single zombie game ever made.
Hell, I would even put, was it Zombie Island of Dr. Ned?
Yeah.
I'd actually put that before.
Dead Island.
All right, so Alien Colonial Marines then.
Joe?
I haven't played any of them.
Neither have we.
Not necessarily.
What? What have you played? Which one have you played?
Perfect Dark.
Oh, Perfect Dark.
Oh, okay. I played the demo for Perfect Dark. Does that count?
I think I watched you play Perfect Dark, but I can't remember if I played N64 Perfect Dark. And that's what I'm thinking of.
I did also appreciate the meme of the moonwalking aliens from Color Marines that popped up after that game launched. Yeah. That was fun.
I just remember everyone, instead of like saying what they actually thought of the game, they were just posting videos of here's what we got versus what we were promised. And all the little gifs of
bad programming.
Yes. What was it? Everyone do the dinosaur?
Yeah.
That was probably the best one.
It was great. So what was your vote, Mike?
Alien.
Joe, I guess you could vote, but...
Yeah, it's okay. Go for it.
You're going to lose. So Aliens Colonial Marines, worst game of this generation. Best accessory of the generation.
Interesting.
Tie.
For number one or number two?
Number one.
Oh, boy.
Rock Band.
Nice.
Kinect.
Rock Band.
Rock Band.
Rock Band.
Moving on.
No discussion whatsoever. And then winner, winner, chicken dinner. Who won this generation? And I found this a little surprising considering how many votes have gone towards exclusive PS3 games in this entire thing, but hands down, overwhelmingly, everybody pretty much voted for Xbox 360.
Yeah.
I would say that I agree. I mean, as much as I like the PS3, I think that 360 came out stronger.
Stayed stronger for longer.
And stayed stronger for longer. But I think most of us are just burnt out on it.
Well, I think what happened this generation, with this last generation, is Microsoft came into the generation beaten. And so they came in with a lower price point, with a better online service, and somehow they overcame the bad PR of the Red Ring of Death. I'm not entirely sure how that one happened. I really don't. Unless the way
it was the replace. I think the fact that they owned up to it and just started replacing systems,
that helps people that already like owned one. But I don't think it's like, you know, it's surprising that they.
But then you get those people that have the issues and they've gone through it and the customer service is taking care of them. And then you get that word of mouth going around that, yeah, they have issues, but they take care of their customers. And that goes further than you would think it does.
I think dropping the price point goes further than that.
Especially if most of those people that are 360 users used to be PS2 users and had the issues that many people had with Sony's customer service during the PlayStation 2 generation.
Oh, so
because
awful.
Their customer service was atrocious during when all those PlayStation 2 systems were failing. So if that could have been
error, if you remember that, everybody.
Yeah. Nope.
So if anybody had those issues, you know, and they see that, yeah, Microsoft is having issues, but they're taking care of their people. Whereas opposed to in the PS2 generation, there's many rampant issues with those systems. And Sony,
when they finally got caught at it, they didn't do anything about it until a class action lawsuit in California said they had to.
And then they finally started taking care of it, and they only took care of stuff for 3 months straight.
Well, I think between the owning up to the return policy, although I wish they would have adopted the Rock Band return policy for their 360. The best customer service this generation, I think, came from Harmonix.
I kind of wish I'd had a problem so that I could have taken advantage of that.
I had a problem and I got to take advantage of it. It was awesome.
I wish more companies would do what Harmonix did, which is they offer two ways to replace a broken instrument. One is they can send you the box, an empty box. You put your guitar in it and you send it in. And then they send you back another one. The other way is you give them a debit or a credit card and they place a $150 hold on your stuff. And in that empty box, in the shipping box they send you your replacement guitar. And when you send back your broken one, they give you your money back. And I was without a 360 for a month and a half, almost 2 months because of the Red Ring of Death. And that was really annoying because I didn't have a 360 to play. I totally would have, you know, they don't make you send in your hard drive when they're replacing it. So they could have just sent me an arcade thing and charged me like $300. And like, you know, as soon as we get your old one, here's your replacement, because we're not going to send you the same one back. They don't do that. That would have been a much better return policy. And I also think one of the things that kind of helped with the Red Ring of Death was the explosion of the internet in the last generation. Like, everyone became really loud and information travels really fast. Traveled a lot faster in the last generation than it did anything before that. But I think that the 360 tended to dropped in price a lot faster than the PS3 did. And I think that also helped it too, because it was consistently the cheaper system. And remarkably, even the most, I can understand why the 360 wins, because live was amazing until, I think for me, live started kind of falling apart when they let developers dictate what could and couldn't be used with Xbox Live, Modern Warfare 2. And then I feel that the PS3, its best games were its exclusives. Like, even the multi-platform games, they ran better on the 360. And
but man, the exclusives on PS3 were just so much better.
Yes. And I the PS3 really did a lot as far as like PlayStation goes. I mean, I'm a PlayStation fanboy through and through, but even through like PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, I never played the Sony exclusive games, like their first party games. I never played them. I played like Squaresoft games and Konami and a couple of other ones. And it wasn't until the PS3 when it was, I'm going to get into these 360s and or the exclusive games for the PS3 and introduced to Naughty Dog through Uncharted. It was like, okay, I want to go play Ratchet and Clank, or Infamous, you know, introduced me to Sucker Punch, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna go play. I'm sorry,
Jack and Dexter.
Yes,
there you go. I was like, what the hell are you?
Yeah, sorry, but it was like that. Like, I'm playing these great first party titles, and I want to know more about the developer. And it was really quite interesting, especially playing like Infamous and then playing Sly Cooper. You can totally see where Infamous came from. But yeah, I know that I put Xbox Live down for the who won the generation, because I really think that more outside of like game performance here and there, the exclusives were better on the PS3, but the online services on the 360, the multiplayer online services were better on the 360, because let's be honest, Netflix is better on the PS3 than it is on the 360.
Yes, it is. That's a deciding factor in anything. All right.
Well, Netflix got better on the PS3 as soon as they changed the interface to be compatible with Kinect on the 360. Before that, I never had a problem with the 360 version of it.
I'm sorry, did you say it got better on the PS3 once they Kinect? Because that's how you start. Whatever.
He's just flaming the fan. Fanning the flames.
Wait, who's flaming? Sean, what are you doing? Stop. Don't stare at me when you do that. God. Yes, your tears do make for better lubrication. God. Man, you are a sick fuck. All right. Best guilty pleasure game of this generation is a tie. One is a new game. One is an older game. GTA 4. And Disney Infinity.
Whoa.
Huh.
I was surprised as well. I'd almost have to give it to GTA 4 just because it's been around.
But you don't feel guilty for playing Disney Infinity?
I feel guilty, but I mean, I don't know.
Doesn't bring you as much pleasure as GTA 4?
I mean, to me, with there's something about pushing people downstairs in GTA 4 that is just awesome. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, Disney Infinity's just so new to me that I do like it, don't get me wrong, but it's not like it's original. I mean, Skylanders has been around for a while.
3 years at least.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get both of them. I guess I get Disney Infinity being more of a guilty pleasure than GTA 4 because it's such a mainstream game.
Okay.
So I guess I'm conflicted.
Man, I wouldn't.
GTA 4, I don't feel guilty for playing that. I feel guilty for the things that I do in the game, but maybe, I'm very proud of my love for that game. Yeah, and I will defend that game to critics and to concerned mothers everywhere in its quality.
I'm fairly certain. I know my vote didn't. I put Lollipop Chainsaw, which I think is a guilty pleasure.
After recently playing it, I don't see it to be much of a guilty pleasure, but
I see it a guilty pleasure because it makes me feel kind of like a pervert.
The one that was voted for that I do agree is being a guilty pleasure, mostly because of the fact that I'm impressed the fact that anybody even likes this game, was the fact that somebody put down Call of Duty 3. Because
it's a guilty pleasure.
I fucking hate that game. I hate. There's few games that I hate as much as I hate that game. Because, oh god, just, I don't even want to get started on it. And another one that I was a little surprised about, somebody put down as a guilty pleasure, was Dishonored, which.
Why would you be guilty about that?
Yeah. I don't. That game is gorgeous. I love that game. So yeah, I don't even know if I can vote on this one.
Oh. I didn't care for GTA 5, so I don't even know if it'd be pleasurable, and I haven't played Disney Infinity yet, although I can't vote on this either. Joe, you decide.
I can do... I don't even agree with the GTA 4 being a guilty pleasure, but I guess if you kill hookers and police officers, then yeah, it probably makes you feel guilty.
Okay, we're blaming this one on Joe then, so GTA 4 for guilty pleasure.
I'll take credit for that.
Okay. Next, we are into our last two categories, which I find to be the most important categories. Best hero of this generation.
Wait a minute. We don't have a best game of the generation?
We did best game for Wii, best game for PS2.
Yeah, but that could have been interesting. Okay, anyways, best hero.
Runner up, Ezio Auditore.
Yay.
I can get behind that. Is it Drake? It's gotta be Drake.
Winner by a large, insane landslide.
Cole McGrath.
No. It was actually Roland from Borderlands?
What?
I'm joking. It's Drake.
I was about to say Zeke from Infamous, but
but I was impressed. I was impressed by a couple votes. Shell.
Okay.
Did get votes, which I was impressed by, and the other one I was impressed by is Isaac Clarke got votes, which. Wasn't expecting the main character from Dead Space to get any votes in this one.
Yeah,
but
I can see why he did. He was,
yeah.
I mean, I think he's up there with. I mean, I think he's above Marcus Fenix.
Well, amazingly enough, Marcus Fenix was actually third, which I apologize to anybody I'm about to offend, but I don't like any of the characters in any of the Gears of War games.
I like
I don't find any of them to be compelling or relatable.
There are two characters in that series that I like, but I can't think of their names right now. Baird, the blonde guy that reminds me of Iceman from Top Gun.
Ah.
And his partner, because they have some of the funniest lines in that series. You just have to be listening for them. Been playing that game, playing the first one as many times as Jason and I did. We heard just about everything.
So I can't argue with the fact that I do enjoy Drake. He's an excellent character. I do like him quite a bit.
I'd probably put Sully as my runner up.
Sully, yeah. Sully's another good character.
Best villain?
Villain.
Here's the one thing where Uncharted will not win, because the villains in Uncharted are forgettable.
Yes, they are. I actually have a tie for first place, but I do want to give mention to the theoretically the second runner, the runner-up. Theoretically, I guess it will be the third place after we make our decision. Joker actually was up there in votes. Which I think this is the first time we've even mentioned the Batman series the entire night.
Yep.
But I'm very, very happy with who is tied with numerous votes for both. But GLaDOS.
Yay.
Yes.
And Handsome Jack. Which, to me, as much crap as we give to Borderlands 2... Handsome Jack was probably one of the better villains.
Well, okay. I think our issue with Borderlands 2, at least my issue with Borderlands 2, none of it cropped up until the DLC.
Yeah. None of it. And
I love the main game, and I do love the characters and everything in the main game. And like the Scarlet DLC was okay because there's a portion of it that is broken, that is unfixable, which makes that DLC fun for me. It's everything that came out after that is just nowhere near as good as the stuff in Borderlands. But the main game, I really don't have a problem with Handsome Jack at all. Like, I do agree he was probably one of the better villains. He's really memorable. But GLaDOS? She's great. And the fact that you spend most of, like, Portal 2, like, with her
just makes it even better.
Yes.
Yep.
It's like you get that versus villain dynamic in the first game, and then you get that awesome second game thing where the villain and the hero have to team up.
And not only that, the villain is now a talking potato. Like, that's... there is no debate here for me. It's GLaDOS.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hands down, it's GLaDOS for me as well. I will also give numerous recognition to all the people that did vote for the catch-alls of Nazis and Russians. I do appreciate the votes for those.
Nazis, Russians, and zombies, huh?
Yeah, Nazis, Russians, and zombies, amazingly enough, were actually tied.
What about Templars?
Templars did not make an appearance on the list.
Oh.
Yeah. The crazy guy from Far Cry 3, though, did make it on the list. Actually listed as the crazy guy from Far Cry 3 because they could not actually remember the name of him.
All right.
The other one I was also impressed by was the fact that Ares made it on the list when theoretically he was only showed up in the HD remasters of God of War. So theoretically it was on that line of it's kind of in this generation, but it's not really.
Okay, now I see what you're saying.
So, but many good choices. So that that is the Generation Awards.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Do we have time to do viewer feedback from last episode?
No.
Okay. We'll save it for next week.
Possibly. Depends on how fast we get through the PlayStation stuff.
We might geek out for a long time. So this has been Off the Cuff Generation Awards.
If
you want to, yeah, go ahead and do your thing.
If you want to get in touch with us and leave us your feedback on what you think of Off the Cuff's Generation Awards, maybe you think someone else should have won a category they didn't. If you want to get in touch with us,
you just hate Mike's opinion.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parent site at geekcastradio.com or send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. And if you listen to us on iTunes, please, please leave us a review, 5 stars preferably, but 1 star only if you have to. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter and on the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. Danner?
You can find me at ArtDanner on Twitter or on the PlayStation Network at X51 The Machine Man.
Joe?
You could find me on Twitter at JoeReedGeek if I checked it. I really need to do that. I want a smartphone to do that. Or you can find me most effectively on my Facebook page at Geek Stuff Garage Sale.
I'm curious, why are you at JoeReedGeek on Twitter and not VivildFire?
I don't know. I don't know. I just thought you named yourself on the
Twitter. What you can make your handle whatever you want.
There's a differencing of opinion since I named myself and then, you know, then there's Mike.
Yeah. But you can also have like your handle show up as whatever you want it to. So you could actually say you could make yourself Jory Geek, but then you can show up on people's timelines as VivildFire.
Or you could be like Sean and be at Sean Z Brown. And,
which makes no sense.
Completely forget, you know, your last name and you just start picking colors when you do your name.
So Sean Z, where can people reach you?
They can reach me at Sean Z Brown on Twitter, or they can find me at Weapon87 on Xbox Live.
All right, so that does us for Off the Cuff.
Until next time, remember, when life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. Make life take the lemons back. Get mad. I don't want your damn lemons. What am I supposed to do with these? Demand to see life's manager. Make life rue the day it thought it could give Cave Johnson lemons. Do you know who I am? I'm the man who's gonna burn your house down with the lemons.
I am, what the fuck was... Okay, I'm recording. Say something first, just so I can make sure it's getting you.
Something.
Okay, good.
Excuse me. Man, there's burpees today.
Burpees!
Bees!
Readjusting my microphone since I've set up a makeshift desk in Xander's room so I can go to sleep. Okay. Recording.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
You ready to do this? You ready for this?
Hopefully.
Okay.
It's a lot of responsibility. I mean, this has been like, what, 3 months?
I think it's been like 2. But yeah.
Whatever. I have no concept of time.
I don't either. All I know is that in 9 days?
9 days.
Yes. I cannot wait. Okay.
All right.
It comes out in 9 days.
PlayStation 4.
Oh. Nothing important.
You're right.
All right. Here we go.